Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to USA Prepares. This is Kathy. I'm filling in for Vince today. I want to thank Jason for engineering the program. Sharon will be joining me today. And we are going to be talking about seeds for the garden, what we plant, dehydrating, and we are also going to be talking about some of the massive inflation that we have seen and some of the increases that we've seen with food prices and just standard household good prices, things like lumber and that type of thing. Before we get started, though, I would like to mention that Vince had a past life session with Dr. Shealy, and he thoroughly enjoyed it, and he will be talking about it in more depth on Monday. And I would like to encourage anyone that's in the area where Dr. Shealy has his office to consider attending one of these sessions. It seems like they're just very beneficial. So that I'd like to encourage people to do that. Also, Vince is graciously allowing Sharon and myself to teach this class, which we both appreciate. And it's a tall order to follow Vince. So I just wanted to thank Vince for that opportunity, and Vince will be here tomorrow. So I would like to welcome Sharon.
Well, good morning.
You did. Good morning, Sharon.
Where would you like to begin on this?
Well, I would like to mention, if we can talk a few minutes about what we are seeing in the stores and the inflation and some of the things that we should get now and some of the things that might be hard to obtain. And then after that, we can talk about our garden and starting seeds, because in a lot of areas, especially in the zone fives and that type of area, everybody's getting their gardens going. So I think maybe we can talk about our successes and our failures. So can I ask you what you have seen with the inflation and what you're noticing in the stores, and are you having trouble ordering things or getting things?
You know, I was just looking at our ads that came out on Wednesday. So I noticed that butter is now from $2, it's at $2.50 on sale. Okay, we're not talking a high-end brand, just regular butter. And I noticed that the two-pound blocks of cheese, I used to always still get them for $3.99, sometimes even $3.69. They're on for either $4.99 or $5.99, so that's a dollar or two more. We used to always get French bread for 99 cents, and it's on sale now for $1.50, so that's 50% increase. Sour cream wasn't huge. I'm just talking the Kroger brand. It used to always be on for $1. It's $1.25 now, but that's 25% increase. And I noticed that Dawn dish soap, I used to be able to get it for $1.99 on sale, and it's up to $2.49. And I know when I went to get bacon at Costco last time, it was at least $1.50 to $2 more per four pack. Okay. And then corn was what really surprised me. We used to get, you know, $5 for $1, but then $4 for $1. Last year was $3 for $1. And this year, they're either at the store, the cheapest was 59 cents for a single ear of corn. So if you had a family of just five, say three kids, you would pay $2.70 or something like that, a little over $2.50 anyway, just for your vegetable, for your meal. So that is just a quick looking. I've noticed so many other prices in the store, but I didn't write them down. So inflation is definitely here, and according to another blog video thing I was listening to, he was saying that Bank of America said that we will be having inflation, and that jumped over to a couple other companies. So actually out in the main media, they're telling you that inflation is coming. And I can see it quite clearly, and I know you and I have discussed that too. We both can. So those are just a few ideas that I noticed, even this morning when I was looking at the ads.
Well, and I've noticed, too, it's not just your food. It's the metals and the wood and components for appliances that people are having trouble building their homes and getting appliances. One of the statistics that I read, it was a 2,000-square-foot home, and if you were going to have a new build, just for the wood, the increase for the wood was $36,000. Just for the wood, because it's gone up that much.
Oh, I believe it. They were saying at least it's double or triple what you would think before. It's gone up astronomically. We had to pick up just some 2x4s, and they had jumped so much it was ridiculous. So, yeah, kind of scary that way.
Well, and, you know, gas goes up. So if gas goes up, then everything transported gets an increase. Everybody that has to farm or has to supply fuel to grow the crops or to package them or get them to the store or whatever, all that's going to go up. But I think there's some things I've noticed that have stayed the same, and they haven't gone up too much, or they fluctuate. But I think overall I've noticed at least a 25% increase on a lot of the groceries and a lot more. One of the things that I noticed was meat has gone up quite a bit, and supplements. And the supplements, some of them have really raised. I know a couple months ago I went to the health food store that I get certain ones for, and almost everything took a 25% jump. It was just, I go, wow, this seems higher. She goes, yeah. She goes, we're getting them in, and they're having trouble getting each herb or supplement. So it's causing more increase because they're just having trouble obtaining them. But the other thing I've noticed was that the packages are smaller. It's, you know, it's really rare to find like a 1-pound bag of chips anymore or a 1-pound box of crackers. It's, some of them are ridiculous. It's 3 to 4 ounces, but the box looks the same. So they want $2 for that box of crackers or, you know, the pretzels or whatever. And now, some of them, if you watch your sales, you can get them, but the packages are smaller. I just think if you look at your packaged goods, I know flour's gone up, sugar's gone up. I think I saw Pillsbury flour, a 5-pound bag. I saw it the other day. It was like $2.50 or $2.60 for a 5-pound bag. And I think a couple years ago, you could probably get it right around between $1 and $1.30.
Yeah, they used to go and sell for 99 cents. The 5-pound bags used to go and sell for 99 cents. Because I used to buy them that way when it was less expensive. Yeah, they call it shrink inflation. I was just hearing at Costco, even with their big paper towels, have, you know, if there were, I don't remember the number, but say there's 125 squares, they've gone down to like 118 or something less, you know. And the baby wipes that they used to buy in the packages there have less in them too. So that's kind of the way they're giving you inflation, but trying to make it not so you notice it. And like you, I rarely find anything that's now 16 ounces anymore. It's like 14.5, you know, something like that. Yeah.
But the jar is the same, or the box is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing that's going up, and if you can buy them now, it's probably a great idea, is plastic and paper are both going up. Even the plastic shoe boxes that I use, like for storage, to get the decent ones, I thought that they used to be around $1. Now they're like $2 and $2.49. Now you can get the real, real cheap ones, like at the dollar store. But if you want something sturdy that you need to stack, you're going to pay a little more money for those now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's definitely there, and I feel like pretty soon people will really notice it. But if you're averaging about 25% increase, which I would agree with you, because some is even more, so you average it out. Well, you were paying $100, you're now paying $125. So instead of, say, $400 at the end of the month, which both people pay more now, but I'm just rounding off, then you'd be paying $500. So there goes $100 that you hadn't counted on. And I believe that most people pay way more than that for groceries. So I am totally into getting whatever I can when it's on sale or good deals, or as you and I both like to look for the markdowns, because a lot of this stuff, it'll store a long time. They're just moving it. A lot of times they mark them down because right now, like you said, they're reducing the size of the package, and it's not extremely noticeable unless you set a new package next to the old package. But when you're putting them on shelves, it will show up. So they get rid of all the older, larger packaging, and they put in this smaller one that hopefully you won't pay attention that you got less for your money. And so then they mark those down, and you get a very good deal a lot of times if you know your prices. So I know we've discussed offline some of our fantastic deals we've gotten, but the goods are still very good for maybe a couple years even. It's just that the packaging changed, and so they mark them down. So that's a good way to find good stuff, by the way.
Well, one of the deals that they still have, Sam still has the big 12-pound bags of the pinto beans, and they're 68 cents a pound. Mm-hmm. And that's a good deal. And so those will store for a couple years, and even if you put them in like your some type of a container, like a plastic bucket with the lid or something, and maybe put bay leaves in there to keep any kind of bugs from getting in there. Typically, beans keep for a long time. But I know they have them there. I'm finding gaps though. Like I went down the aisle where they had like the pickles and they had the condiments, and it was probably 20% of what I normally see there was gone. And there were some areas where it was just open. They were short on like olives, and I know it's a regional thing sometime, but I just think that if they're having trouble getting certain things, they just don't have them in the store. I also noticed, too, that the canning lids are not available yet. If I go to the store, I kind of peek to see. I am seeing canning jars. So if you get canning jars, you get the lids and the bands with them. So it's okay. Like if you wanted to get like a dozen pints and it cost you like $9.99, well, you're going to get the lids and the bands with it, so you're not paying that much more. You're maybe paying $5 more, but you get the jars. So if you can't find the lids and you really want your canning jars, just go ahead and buy them. But I'm not sure whether they're going to be in. Maybe they'll get them in by the time that canning season really kicks up.
Yeah, I would also suggest you be kind of careful if you're buying extra canning lids that you don't get some cheap Chinese-type canning lids. There's some real off brands, and you have to be careful. I've been following some different canning, I guess, blogs or whatever you call them, and they were talking about how they ordered some, and that the metal is extremely thin, and the rubber was even thinner. So I do tend to aim for the bulker. I've gotten a thing called Orchard something. They were really good, but I would kind of, if nothing else, well, you kind of have to know what canning jars look like. But you probably could open up a canning, like a Bulker one, and then compare it with the off-brand and see if it looks as good as the, you know, thicker rubber and thicker metal. Otherwise, I would kind of stick with the Bulker myself, just as a thought.
Okay, we'll pick this up on our other side of the break with Sharon.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Welcome back to our class. This is Kathy and Sharon, and we're going to talk about gardening now. I think that I first want to encourage everyone to just try it. If you put seeds in and they don't make it, well, then you learn and you find out. You learn from your failures and your successes. If you put plants in and that you don't get 100% of success, you still can learn. And I think it's an enjoyable activity. It is work. But even if you can only do some container pots or raised beds, or maybe you just start real small and then you can increase your garden a little bit. But I want to talk about what we grow and some of our ideas of how we grow it, our successes and our failures. And I would also like to say grow what you like. If you love cucumbers, if you love tomatoes or peppers, grow what you like. And if you can't get seeds, let's say you go to a garden center and you're only going to maybe do, let's say you're not going to do a ton of peppers, but you just want a couple plants, then just buy the variety that you like if you can find it at the garden center and try that. But if you want to do lettuce, then buy the package of seeds because those are so much easier to sow. So I just would encourage everyone to try it. and to just read and to learn. But I want to ask Sharon first. Sharon, what would you like to go into as far as gardening? Like, what are your favorite plants, the ones you're most successful with?
Okay. I'm going to mention just a couple things, too, before I forget them. If you want to order trees, check out Pine Tree, just like a pine tree. It's a seed company, and they're considerably less than everybody else, and they don't knowingly sell any GMO seeds. So they're a really good source, and they're online. You can find them. And then if you want to do any kind of container gardening, you can get those old kiddie pools, and you can put dirt in them, and you can grow in that. You just have to pop some holes in the bottom, and so you have some drainage. And then when I grow, I tend to lean towards the square-foot gardening idea. I don't actually make a grid, but I envision it in my mind because we have really long raised beds because we're in the hills. We're in the Rocky Mountains, and that's what you have, rocks. So we did raised beds. And so if you do square-foot gardening and companion gardening, you can grow two, three things together, and you will get a lot more for your space. So if you don't have a lot of space, you know, you can do that. We've done that for a long time because we have worked with raised beds mostly because of where we've been living. And so you can get a lot more in the same amount of space. I grow all kinds of stuff. I hadn't even realized how much I grew until I started making a few notes on here. But I think what I, if I was growing anything in it, I just like to grow tomatoes. Okay. I really do. We have a greenhouse because we can get frost at our elevation. But when you have tomatoes, you can just can them. You can dice them. I make lots of salsa. Last year I made some tomato paste out of it. I've made some ketchup before. You can make tomato sauce, barbecue sauce, spaghetti sauce. I mean, I guess I cook with a lot of tomatoes, and we've been very successful at growing our tomatoes, so they're just like loaded with those beautiful red tomatoes, and I just love to grow them. So every year I start them from seed, and every year I plant way too many, as my husband says, but I figure out a way to put them to use. Plus, they're very easy to give to people. If you end up with too many, they're happy to get organically grown, homegrown tomatoes. So I grow them a lot. I usually grow some peppers because that goes along with my salsa. And I also have this recipe for bread and butter jalapeno peppers. And so I give away a lot of that to people who like spicy things, and my sons love them, and yeah. So I grow that. But otherwise, we grow like the lettuces and kale and chard and spinach. And you can dry all those greens, and you can use them for like in smoothies. And it's really nice to have a dehydrator, but actually when I'm drying a lot of greens, I just put them on a clean window screen in one of my cars that we're not using. Okay, like we have a plow truck. I don't use a plow truck in the summer. So I can put them inside on that, and I dry them that way, and you can do great big batches that way. And I take like dried spinach in particular and throw it into my seasoned sauces when I'm cooking, like spaghetti sauce, and you can't even taste it. But it kind of slides in more nutrition, and it is, I think I hear the music. Like?
Yep, you do. Yep. We're going into a break, and when we get back, we'll continue.
Okay.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel, and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A federal judge on Wednesday threw out the CDC's nationwide moratorium on evictions, but agreed to put a temporary hold on her ruling as the government pushes an appeal. District Judge Dabney Friedrich said that although there was no doubt Congress intended to empower CDC to combat COVID-19, a moratorium on residential evictions was not among them. The husband of missing Colorado mom Suzanne Morphew has been charged with first-degree murder in connection with her disappearance and presumed death just shy of 1 year ago. Barry Morphew was arrested on Wednesday with first-degree murder, tampering with physical evidence, and attempting to influence a public servant charges. South Carolina is putting into motion bringing back firing squads to its list of execution methods. The state house voted 66-43 Wednesday on legislation that would allow death row inmates to choose between being shot or electrocuted if lethal injection drugs are not available. USA Radio News.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis, and that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you have noticed Americans being short with one another since the pandemic started, you're not alone. The airline industry has issued a statement regarding unruly people. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau fills us in.
The FAA is warning air travelers about what it describes as a dramatic increase in unruly or dangerous behavior aboard passenger airplanes. In a typical year, the agency sees 100 to 150 formal cases of bad passenger behavior. But since the start of this year, the number of reported cases has jumped to 1,300. Sarah Nelson, president of the Association of Flight Attendants Union, says things have gotten real bad this year.
The physical and verbal abuse that flight attendants have been taking has been way off the charts of any kind of air rage incidents that we've been talking about over the past 20 years.
As far as some of the behaviors of the unruly passengers, Nelson tells ABC's Good Morning America,
flight attendants being physically assaulted, pushed, choked. We had a passenger urinate. We had a passenger spit into the mouth of a child on board. These are some of the things that we have been dealing with.
The FAA now taking a zero tolerance approach to poor behavior. Unruly passengers facing potential criminal charges, fines up to $35,000, or lifetime bans on certain airlines.
In 2020, U.S. Airlines carried 369 million passengers. That's down from 927 million in 2019. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Welcome back. Sharon, can I ask you about your tomatoes? What are some tips that you could give people if they have, they're planting them? Like, how do you fertilize? How far apart do you put them? Can you tell me how you...
I've always put like about, I put about a tablespoon of Epsom salts in the bottom because it's supposed to help them. And I have sprinkled eggshells along because they need calcium, but last year I watched Roots and Refuge on YouTube, and she put an egg at the bottom of her tomato plants before she planted them because she had read that it works. And I tried it. I can't honestly tell you if they were better or not because it was kind of really busy summer, but it didn't hurt it. And if you were to get eggs on sale, it wouldn't hurt to crack an egg and put it at the bottom. It would give your tomato plant a lot of nutrition. So it's an interesting thought. You're supposed to plant them a good foot apart. I kind of tend to crowd them a little bit closer. My friend keeps telling me you'll get more tomatoes if you spread them apart. And I think you're probably correct about that. But I just get a ton of tomatoes anyway. They are in a greenhouse, so that's kind of a subjective thing. I like to prune off the little sucker plants. You can go online and see what sucker stems are and branches. I like to go through there and cut a lot of them off. I do it more some years than others, depending on how much time I have. But I do believe that makes a little healthier plant, and it allows it to put more energy into the tomatoes if you can prune them back. But in all honesty, I've done some years where I never did, and I still got a lot of tomatoes. I just think you get a little better tomatoes, bigger ones, if you do that. So it does not take very long to do that, by the way, depending on how many tomatoes you grow. But, yeah, we've had really good success with them. It's kind of funny. People say they're hard to grow, and for us, they haven't been. Our potatoes have been more of a challenge in our area, and I'm not really sure. We've never been what I would consider successful at growing a lot of potatoes. They seem to take a fair amount of space to get enough to, you know, to be real productive. But we keep trying every year. I think part of it is due to our very dense soil because I do grow those directly in the ground. So I've been putting in a lot of compost and kind of stuff. I have some super aged sawdust, and I've been trying to have that tilled in and then put compost and see if we can't figure out how to grow potatoes, because potatoes are super nutritious and they store well and they would fill you. And we're leaning towards what are more nutritious foods and what are more garden foods that have substance, like potatoes will fill you, or dried beans, if you make a big pot of them, they'll fill you, you know, some grains. And we've never really played a whole lot, you know, grown a whole lot of that. But where the economy is going, I think if you can learn to garden anything in your area so that you can learn what your soil and your climate is like, and then start, if you have a garden already, maybe expand and see what you could grow that would supplement your diet more. Like I've always just bought pinto beans, but I'm actually going to see if I can grow some out here this year. And because if you couldn't get them in the store or they get to be so expensive, it would really pay for you to be able to grow them yourself, because they're not hard to harvest. Those things aren't. So that's pretty much all I know with the tomatoes. I just like to grow them. And they tell you you should water them from the bottom, and I'm going to tell you it's probably a good idea, but we've always watered ours from the top. And in our climate, it's been fine. So that's just our experience.
Well, and you have, to me, especially if it gets real hot, you should try to water them regularly. I've made a mistake a couple years where I got busy and I said, oh, they look like they don't need water, but then I lost the blossoms because they just didn't have enough water. So I knew that I didn't water them enough. And I did something a couple years ago. We had a stretch of probably a week where we had like mid-90s, almost to 100. And I read about it, and what they did was they took, I have like a split rail fence on part of my garden. So I took tarps or sheets, and I attached them to that fence, and I just made a shade cloth for them. And I just put it up around the hottest part of the day, starting around like 11, and I left it up till about 4. And then I would flip it back. And I did that all week because when I didn't do that the year before, they suffered. It was even tomatoes that love heat. It was just a really, really hot spell. And it was so dry that it just sort of protected them from getting scorched and the blossoms didn't drop off. So that's a suggestion. And then again, there's different ways to stake them. When you go to, if you're going to tie them up to a stake. Now, a lot of times what I do is I have some really big tomato cages. I mean, they're
they're tall. They've got like five rungs, but they're real thick. You can't bend them like you can the cheaper ones in the store. Well, I pound them in, or I push them in the ground, and then I'll take like a heavy duty stake or even a piece of conduit, and I'll tie that on there, because if sometimes those tomatoes get real heavy, they can even tip that cage over. But I'll take shoelaces, and I very, very gently tie them. You don't want to tie them real tight. You want to let the stem expand. Or you can use twine as long as you don't tie them real tight. But you could even take pieces of, like, bed sheets and just cut them in strips. But I save old shoelaces, and then I just tie them in a loose knot. And then if I have to move up the where I tied it, like if the tomato's growing bigger, all I do is untie it and just move it up. So I don't have to keep going back and getting the twine and cutting it. So it's just something, if you have a lot of old shoelaces, I have a whole bag of them now because I've saved them for years. But they last from season to season. They really don't deteriorate. So that's a couple suggestions that I did with my tomatoes too. And I did like you. I did the eggshells and the Epsom salt. And I have a tomato fertilizer, a tomato and vegetable fertilizer. But I try to mulch around them and keep the weeds out if you can. Once they get going, I leave it open around the bottom so that you can get water there. But I'll take chopped up leaves or grass clippings and try to put them in between the rows and the tomatoes, and that helps to keep the weeds down.
Yeah, there are two types of tomatoes too, the determinate and indeterminate. So I tend to grow most determinate, which means they only grow a certain height, but the indeterminate will grow forever. And last year I put a couple in inadvertently, because I grow more than one kind normally. And it was really funny. It dropped down and it rooted and it kept growing down our bed. We have a large greenhouse that we grow in, and that was kind of humorous. I forgot. Yeah, I use tomato cages and tie them up because I don't use the indeterminate, or you need really big ones. And I do try to get a lot of the branches that are low off so that they don't get too damp and moldy. You know, some places have a harder trouble mm-hmm. with mold than we do. So far, we, you know, we're way up north, so we're not going to get the super heat down south. So I would say you definitely want to keep it more open where you have a more humid environment than us. And I love the idea of a shade crop. We don't usually tend to get that extreme heat. And my husband runs fans in our greenhouse to keep airflow going. But I know shade cloth can be extremely important, especially in the southern states. So that is a mm-hmm. great idea. And I like your shoelace idea. I've heard of twist ties and all kinds of stuff. But like you said, it would be easy to take that off and reuse it. So I actually like that idea. It's great. I hadn't heard of it. Yeah, there's a lot of little tricks. Well, I would also suggest that if you have a good garden center, if you can get somebody who really knows what you're talking about, find out what kind of tomatoes grow best in your area, or how long of a season you have. Like, we have a relatively short growing season here. So I tend to grow things that do not have a long growing period that you can easily do down south. But I can't. Not. I just end up with green tomatoes otherwise.
mm-hmm. Well, yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention is, if you're going to go pick out, let's say you're just going to go to the garden center and pick out plants, for the most part, people want to get the tall, leggy ones. I recommend personally that you get the shorter, stockier, thicker ones. They, you know, to me, they're healthier, and you want to look for the dark green. If they start looking pale yellowy color, or even the light green, just see if you can find the shorter, thicker stem. And when I plant my tomato, if I get them from the garden center, I take them out of the pot, very gently loosen up the roots. But if it's, let's say it's 8 inches tall or 6 inches tall, I'll take the very bottom of leaves off, and then I plant that a little deeper, because I believe it makes the tomato stronger. If you, because it will root from that stem. So depending on the weather, sometimes it gets away from you, because right now where we are, we're in Ohio. I have chances of frost for the next 4 or 5 days. It's going to get down in the mid 30s. So, you know, your cool weather plants are going to be okay. But everything that you have gotten, let's say you went to the garden center, you're going to have to keep that in the house or in a warm place until you can get it in the ground. So you might have to have things get a little leggy, but if you can pick them out, try to get the shorter stock of your plants and peppers and tomatoes and beans and that kinds of things if you can pick them out.
Yeah, I would agree. I've actually, I sometimes have kind of leggy tomato plants because I have grown them in my window. This year I actually have some lights on them, but they sometimes are kind of stocky, but you can just leave a, you know, 3 inches above the ground and plant the rest below. And if you can't go all the way down deep, you can actually lay it at a kind of a gentle 45 degree angle and it will root and it makes really strong plants that way. So, but you do want to take off the leaves before you stick them in the ground. You just pinch off the little leaves and then you lay them down in there and cover them dirt real well. And yeah, I've done that lots of times. And because like I said, a lot of times my tomatoes, I grow them from seeds myself. And at this time of year, probably you would just want to go and get your tomatoes in the green, at the greenhouses if you can, I would say. But mm-hmm. I started mine, about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that in the house. So, but, you know, it's good. A lot of the stuff you can plant in the ground, like when you start jumping into your lettuces and kale and chard and all that, you can just plant them straight in the ground. Peppers take quite a while to germinate and get big enough, so you probably would want to buy your peppers at the greenhouse, too, if you can get them for a reasonable price. And a lot of times I've heard that the farmers markets have really good deals on that, so you might check into that, too. Ours is just so far away, and the time factor when they have it, it's just not worth me driving 30 miles to go to a farmer's market. It's just not. So, but, you know, it's definitely a viable place. A lot of people like to start their little plants at home and take them there and sell them. And if you know your prices, you might get some really good deals. I like to grow, like, green beans, and we've played around corn. We have raised beds. So last year I grew zucchini underneath the corn, and this year I'm looking at growing either squash or zucchini under the corn. You can grow corn, beans, and squash all in the same area. They call them the three sisters, and it still works really well. So I'm always trying to figure out how much I can grow in each area and still sustain them. You know, you don't want to overcrowd to where they don't get enough nutrition, but we top dresser, we're still tilling in quite a bit of compost because we have such heavy clay soil. So we're trying to get it more loamy. But we can grow all those three things together. Corn takes quite a bit of space, so it's nice if you can grow like beans next to them and squash so you don't waste all that space. I don't know if you've tried doing that or not.
No, I haven't done that. But we could pick up the topic when we get back, Karen. We're going into break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Welcome back to our class. This is Kathy with Sharon. I'd like to mention a couple things just so I don't forget. One of the things I would encourage you to save, because it does help to help your soil if you need to do it, like what I did in the fall, was I saved, I don't have a lot of leaves on my property, but I do have family members that do, and I have areas where I know that the people chop up their leaves with their mowers, and they either bag them or they put them by the side of the road. And so I've been known to take my drawstring garbage bags with me, and on a nice day in the fall, I'll stop and I'll fill all those bags as much as I can, and I'll haul them home, or some of my friends will bring them over, like in truckloads, if they see the bags or they have them. And what I do in the fall is I take those chopped up leaves and I put them on my ground. And I also have a friend who is a woodworker, and he saves me the sawdust. So I put them on the ground, and I have so much wind where I'm at that I have to cover them or they will blow away. There's just no saving them on the ground. So I saved great big pieces of cardboard. Sometimes we have it, but sometimes if I've gone to like a recycling center and somebody's got like a big piece of cardboard, I'll snatch it. Or I have tarp. And what I did last year was I put all the leaves down in the fall, and I put the tarps or the cardboard down, or I even had some old fencing from when we had our split rail fence. We redid it, so I had my husband save the old fencing. So I laid it down, and I put, like, bricks or pavers on it, and already I can tell you that it's done a wonder for my soil. I've had toads out there. I've had ladybugs crawling around already. The worms are just, they've multiplied. So I still have bags of chopped up leaves in my barn. So as the season goes on, when I start to pull those back, I'll either put them in, I'll compost them, or I'll put them on an area where I need mulch, like maybe around my perennials or something like that, and then I'll put mulch on top of it. But I guess I want to encourage everyone to save things like sheets, and even if it's old pieces of fabric or tarps or cardboard, because you can use those to cover for a frost. You can use them to keep, you can keep weeds out if you have to. If you're going to throw it away anyway, you can put them in between your rows and keep the weeds out. So I save that. And then the other thing I encourage people to save is save your, like, plastic buckets. You can use those for planting. If you don't have pots, you can drill holes in them. But I, a lot of times when you drive around, people have container pots like they're throwing away, especially this time of year. They'll buy trees or they'll buy garden big pots for perennials, and they'll put them out by the road. Well, a lot of them are really nice, and I had a ton, but people will come over, and I don't mind sharing any of my perennials. So at least I have pots, or if people say, oh, I have a whole bunch of plants, if you want them, I'll take my pots over and, you know, with a shovel, and then I grab them from there. So save pots and trays. Like right now, a lot of us are starting seeds, or we having to bring the pot, the flats in and out. Well, you could save trays from, like, whether it's a like a 13x9 pan or a Tupperware pan, or even like an old cookie sheet or a kitty litter, one of those little flat trays they put kitty litter in. And those are so handy, because otherwise the water goes everywhere if you have to bring it in the house. So I save all that, and I have twine and string. And the other thing I would encourage, too, is, like, my husband cuts conduit for me. He buys the big, long things of conduit, and I use those for a lot of my stakes. Like, if I want to, if my pepper plants are starting to get really heavy, then I'll put a piece of conduit in, and then I use the shoelaces, and I sort of tie them up to support them. Otherwise, if you get a strong wind, they'll just break right off. So, and then, or, you know, they just get too top heavy. So I would encourage you to save the, or to get that. And if you get soaker hoses too, if you can, sometimes you find them real cheap. I probably have 8 or 10 of them right now. So I'm going to put that in an area where it's hard for me to water. And I have rain barrels too. So I can hook them up to the rain barrels and just let them go all through parts of my garden. So I wanted to get those in, because a lot of people throw that stuff away. But I figured, well, with spring coming, and if people can keep their eyes open, whether it's estate sales or garage sales. So anyway, Sharon and I will continue when we get back, and we'll pick up on the gardening. And we'd also like to mention how we, what we do with some of our produce and how we dehydrate. So we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners, because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.